boys and girls, London calling, now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania has bitten the dust. London calling, see we ain't got no swing, except for the ring of the truncheon thing. The ice age is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is going thin. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, cause London is drowning. I live by the river, to the imitation zone. Forget it, brother, you can go in alone. London calling to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't wanna shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see we ain't got no hide, except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice age is coming, the sun's zooming in. Engines stop running, the wheat is going thin. A nuclear error, but I have no fear, cause London is drowning.
Kicking off this week's broadcast of Radio Resistance Chesterfield with London Calling. Now, appropriately enough, this Saturday, London certainly is calling in the form of the Unite the Resistance Conference. Indeed, it's a going to be a busy weekend one way or another, which is why this week Radio Resistance has been recorded a couple of days early on Wednesday. Anyway, more details about Unite the Resistance Conference and many more coming up, but now back to the music with the sound of Woody Guthrie, Hobo's Lullaby.
Go to sleep, you weary hobo. Let the towns drift slowly by. Listen to the steel rails humming. That's a hobo's lullaby. Ho, 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 ho. Ho, 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 ho. Not think about tomorrow. Let tomorrow come and go. Tonight you've got a nice warm boxcar, safe from all this wind and snow. I know the police cause you trouble. They cause trouble everywhere. But when you die and go to heaven, you'll find no policeman there. So go to sleep, you weary hobo. Let the town drift slowly by. Listen to the steel rails humming. That's a hobo's lullaby.
Yeah, the sound there of Woody Guthrie, track entitled Hobo's Lullaby, and it turns out it's not just the bedroom tax, and it's not just the exorbitant prices of rent and prices of houses that are likely to cause more homelessness. It seems that there's some letting agents who are actively discriminating against black people. Indeed, in Northwest London, this was uncovered by the BBC's Inside Out programme. 10 letting agents out of 10, that is, discriminated on behalf of racist landlords. Although they couldn't sort of directly say black people are forbidden, they did operate a policy of saying if a black person called or to inquire or what have you, that the room had already been let. Now, yes, this is effing disgusting, but sadly, it is not uncommon. I mean, anyone who was in a minority group who's had experience with private landlords, such as myself, may sort of say, who knew? I mean, there are many, many cases of racist, homophobic, disablest discrimination in private renting. Part of the reason for that is that private landlords are middle class by definition, and as such they're not the same as workers, and there's not the sort of binding together of workers during struggle or what have you, which tends to break down race, disabled and gay barriers, which is why the middle class have tended to be overrepresented, if you like, in fascist groups such as the BNP and EDL, Golden Dawn in Greece, and last but certainly not least, the German Nazi Party of the 1930s. Now, I mentioned the bedroom tax. Well, this is certainly going to aggravate the equation. I mean, the bedroom tax will force many people to leave their homes and have to find new, smaller homes. A large number of those will be black, gay, disabled, Asian, Muslim, what have you. And how many of these are now going to face discrimination? So, the bedroom tax certainly isn't the answer to a shortage of housing. Far from it. It's going to make the situation a lot worse, especially for people in the oppressed minority groups. What we need to do is we need to defend council housing. We need to restart building council houses and stop the sell-off of the housing stock. Indeed, we need to nationalise the private housing stock as far as possible. In cases where the landlords discriminate, I'd say that such houses should be nationalised without compensation to the owners. Anyway, back to the music. Here's the sound of Black Britain. Track entitled Black Britain Man.
Big game, Sally Pope, and all that crap.
This is Radio Resistance News, brought to you courtesy of Socialist Worker Newspaper. Energy bosses are piling on yet another hike in gas and electricity prices, and yet another hike in their profits, just in time for winter. But while the bosses laugh all the way to the bank, some 6.7 million people in Britain are now in fuel poverty. Benefits in cuts and wage freezes mean some of the worst hit families can't afford to heat their homes. The details of the Tories' nasty new immigration bill were published last week. The only thing the changes will achieve is to make life even more miserable for immigrants. Home Secretary Theresa May says she wants to create a really hostile environment for illegal migrants, which is bad enough. But it's also going to help create a really hostile environment for legal migrants as well, as it stokes up racism. Teachers were set to strike across large parts of England on Thursday of this week. It's the third regional strike by NUT and NASUWT union members to defend teachers' pay, pensions and conditions. Teachers are also angry at Michael Gove's attacks on education. Firefighters were set to march in London against attacks on their pensions ahead of a five-hour strike on Saturday. Meanwhile, postal workers were expected to vote for a national strike just days after the privatisation of Royal Mail. Also in this week's Socialist Worker, the taxi driver who was driving Mark Duggan before police shot him dead has said that the cops were behaving as though they had come to hunt somebody. Both of Greece's main trade union federations have called a general strike against public sector mass sackings on Wednesday the 6th of November. Eight of Britain's largest construction companies have said they will offer some level of compensation for victims of blacklisting. A feature on the EDL in the aftermath of the resignation of their leader, Tommy Robinson. 2 years on, the plight of travellers following their eviction from their own land at Dale Farm. A new threat to free NHS care. A historical feature on Ida B. Wells, a black civil rights campaigner in the aftermath of the American Civil War. And a review of the Bridget Jones series of books. You can buy Socialist Worker on Saturdays in Chesterfield, outside Primark, from 11 a.m. through till 12:30 p.m. You can read Socialist Worker online at www.socialistworker.co.uk. Or if you visit the stall or the branch meetings on Thursday nights, you can find out how to get Socialist Worker delivered straight to your door. Socialist Worker is your paper. Buy it, read it, sell it.
When I was a child in need of material things, the local politician would his cameraman bring. Him and the local charity would help me help them get some free publicity. Now I've seen some of the jokers and a roller skaters on charity. Sorry, cause it
Yeah, the sound there of Simon Smith and the Useless Eaters. Grateful. Now, Useless Eaters was, of course, the term which the German Nazis used to describe people with disabilities. On the subject of Nazis, this Saturday just gone, of course, there was the big protest against the EDL in a number of towns, including Liverpool, which was probably one of the biggest, with, 7,000 anti-fascists against the EDL. Chesterfield, many comrades went up to Bradford for the We Are Bradford event, which was in opposition to the EDL attempting to protest there. Now, I'm going to read out a statement from the Unite Against Fascism on Facebook. Hundreds attended the We Are Bradford event in opposition to the EDL's pitiful national demo. The EDL's turnout was small, roughly 300, and got little support from locals. Many had clearly stayed away, affected by Tommy Robinson's exit. Those who came were in low spirits. The Dutch courage got them nowhere. By contrast, We Are Bradford's demo, supported by Unite Against Fascism, attracted much popular backing and showed the city's derision for EDL. Trade unions were represented by various speakers, as in Liverpool. Several EDL supporters were arrested, as their event went nowhere. EDL supporters were moaning, by the end of their flop, that the day had been pointless. Indeed, two good results for anti-fascists, many in the Northwest, are gearing up to give Griffin the result he deserves in 2014. Nice one to all who came. Griffin must go, EDL go to hell. Now, from the latest Socialist Worker, a little bit of an update. It seems that the EDL turnout in Bradford may have been as low as 200, and they were counted by 250 anti-fascists, which is a very different story from what you read in the establishment media, which reported 700 EDL versus a small number of UAF, i.e. they said that the EDL outnumbered UAF, which it seems probably wasn't the case after all. Anyway, personally, I think that the talk about Dutch courage I have a bit of an issue with, because as I'm going to talk about later, sometimes the Dutch have shown some genuine courage, particularly during World War II in the form of the Dutch resistance. But anyway, back to the music. Here's the sound of Cosmo. Oh, to be in England when the EDL are here.
Oh, to be in England, that EDL is here, that's the English Defence League, and they drink lots of beer. They sit in Yates' wine bar, or a bunch of big fat slobs, and then they go a-marching, pretending they're not yobs. They don't like Muslim extremists, though, by George, it's true. Well, get on, you boys and girls, there's not that many do. They fly the flag and sing God Save the Queen, it's such a wheeze. Hey, you lot kicking off there, can you stop Sieg Heiling?
Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil!
Oh, to be in England now the EDL's in town. I'd rather pick my granddad's nose and eat sick by the pound. Some black people who've joined a happy throng. So if you say they're racist, the EDL say wrong. Black and white unite, they say diversity is brill. Walk arm in arm with Nazis, it's such a jolly thrill. Years ago, in days gone by, when England ruled the waves, we buggered up a quarter of the world and made them slaves. Just what was the secret? It's called divide and rule. When they finished with the Muslims, then they'll start on you. And you, and as for you, Oh, to be in England now the EDL is here. I'd rather be sick through my eyes and drink some rancid beer. Go! Load of money and you'll find Alan Lake. The far right pulled the purse strings and England starts to quake. But it's the same old story, we're all being sold a line. Do the boss man's bidding and the sun will start to shine. Bollocks, 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 bollocks. Bollocks, 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 bollocks. Bollocks, 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 bollocks. Bollocks, 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 what a load of bollocks.
Well, that's certainly one way of describing the EDL and their rabid rants, that's for sure. Now, this last weekend, I did actually visit Holland, Amsterdam to be exact, and now, there's quite a lot good you can say about Holland. Indeed, they've had for a long time a liberal policy towards cannabis, which is decriminalised and available through coffee shops. And yes, I admit I did visit one of the coffee shops, and yes, I liked it. And they've also had a liberal policy towards sex work, which means that the sex workers there have not only been largely protected from rape, abuse, not to mention arrest, they've also been able to access healthcare and what have you without fear of without fear of arrest. And where I visited of great interest was the Museum of Dutch Resistance, detailing the Dutch Resistance during World War II. Now, that does show a real sort of view of Dutch courage. Now, apart from the things which interested me in the form of covert crystal radios, etc., it did detail, for example, the importance of strikes. Strikes took place even in occupied Holland against the deportation of people to Germany and against the Nazi regime. And probably the most notable example is the railway workers' strike, when you consider that the railways had been used to transport Jews, etc., to the death camps. I'd say that the railways workers' strike was a big step forward, and if you're ever in Amsterdam, then I'd well recommend visiting the Museum of the Dutch Resistance. It is slightly out of the centre of town, best to get there via tram or what have you, but it's definitely a refreshing uplift after the rather sort of chilling, to say the least, visit to Anne Frank's house there. And back to the music, here's the sound of Pop Relief itself. Ich bin ein Ausländer.
Listen to the big reason isn't violence, neither is your silence.
If they come to ethnically cleanse me, will you speak out? Will you defend me? Freedom of expression doesn't make it alright.
Trampled underfoot by the rise of the right.
Yeah, that was the sound of Pop Will Eat Itself, Ich Bin Ein Ausländer. Now, I've been talking mostly about the UAF demo against the EDL in Bradford, but I did briefly mention that there was also one in Liverpool, a rather bigger one. For those of you who didn't make it to Liverpool, next up, we've got a recording harvested from YouTube of Wayman Bennett speaking at the Liverpool UAF demo. Take it away, Wayman.
I want to start off by thanking United Union for organising this demonstration and the trade union movement for standing back and fighting out against racism and fascism. And it's important that we do that and we say that. But I also want to say the miraculous turn of Tommy Robinson suddenly deciding that he's in a racist and fascist organisation. What's new? I knew he was stupid, but he's proved it. Because the truth of it is, when we said that the EDL was a racist and fascist organisation, there were people who said that the EDL is a representation of working class voices. That's a lie. This is a representation of working class voices. The TNC is a representation voices. He is a representation of reaction and racism and attempts to divide us. I do not believe that the reason why he stood back is because he wanted to. He was kicked off the stage of history by working class people putting up a banner that said you shall not pass in Tower Hamlets. You will not pass in Birmingham. You will not pass in Bolton. You will not pass in Manchester. And when people ask us who do these streets belong to, they belong to us. They belong to everybody, black, white. They belong to Muslim and non-Muslim, people with faith or no faith, people with their own sexuality, people decide who they sleep with. It's not up to Nazis to decide this. And this is a warning to us. It's a warning when you see people that should be in the dustbin of history being on Newsnight, speaking out and attacking Muslims. We know who these people are. They burnt down a mosque in Muswell Hill, the same way Hitler Mussolini burnt down synagogues. We know who you are. You will not fool us. And it's important that we send a message to them. We want to make sure that Nick Griffin is kicked out. We have to make sure that Nick Griffin is kicked out. I saw Nick Griffin crying in Barking and Dagenham when he got the lowest vote. I want to see him
in the same state when he's kicked out in the Northwest, because I know that we've got the power to kick him out and make sure that he stays out. He says that he doesn't feel safe enough to do a walk around Liverpool. And no one know why. Right? He's right about that. He's not welcome anywhere. I want to say, the other thing I want to say is there's other people trying to exploit what's going on. There's a man called Nigel Lafarge from UKIP. Right? He's standing up and he says he's an ordinary person. He's actually a banker. And you know what rhymes with banker? And I think the truth is that these people are attempting to divide people again with this message that we should be divided. He's not a Nazi, but we should stand up to UKIP when they say they represent us. I'll tell you something else about bankers that I noticed. They sold off the post office the other day. And you know what they said? Big institutions want to make sure the price of things are kept low, so that's why they made a profit. Well, I'm not happy. That's what he said in the FT. Who do those people represent? Then they turn around and say it's immigrants and migrants that aren't the cause of problems. My mother came from Jamaica to nurse people on the NHS. She came to save people. Stop blaming people that come here to work and say that they are to blame. We should stand together in unity against these people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was Wayman Bennett speaking at the Liverpool UAF demo against the EDL. Now, that did, believe it or not, take a little bit of finding on YouTube, because the EDL have rather crap flooded YouTube with a load of pro-EDL propaganda masquerading as anti-EDL and UAF videos. Anyway, back to the music. This track's going out to Tim and Jane of Chesterfield UAF, Sound of Peter Tosh. Here comes the judge.
Here comes the judge. Hear ye him.
Oh yeah, God save the African king. Anyone have anything to say before this just judge? Come say it now and say it like a glad, and not like a man. For this judge have no mercy in this time.
Court's in session. Silence in the court. The court's in session. Silence in the court. The court's in session. Silence in the court. The court's in session.
Christopher Cumberlas.
Yes, sir.
Francis Drake.
Yes, my lord.
Bartholomew de las Casas.
Your honor.
Vasco da Gama.
Present. Majesty.
Alexander, so-called the Great.
I am here.
John Hanning.
Sir.
James Grant.
Your honor.
David Livingstone.
Yes, present. Miranda, present.
John Constantine.
Yes, sir.
Henry Martin.
Yes,
sir. Arvin Bola.
Yes, sir.
Now say after me. I solemnly swear that the evidence I shall give shall be the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
Silence in the court, the court's in the session. Silence in the court, the court's in the session. Silence in the court, the court's in the session. Silence in the court, the court's in the session. Silence in the court, the court's in the session. Silence in the court, the court's in the session. Silence in the court, the court's in the session. Silence in the court, the court's in the session. Silence in the court. Court's in session. Silence in the court. The court's in session. Silence in the court. The court's in session.
You're all brought here and count one. Robbing and raping Africa. Phantom. Two. Stealing black people out of Africa. Three. Brainwashing black people. Four. Holding black people in captive for more than 300 years. Five. Killing over 50 million black people without a cause. Six. Teaching black people to hate themselves. If any of you have anything to say before this execution,
station.
Yeah, yeah.
On tape. No mercy. Penalty for all this. Each of you must be hung by the tongue.
But you're under, we've been forced.
On tape. No appeal will be accepted.
Silence in the court. The court's in session. Silence in the court. The court's in session. Silence in the court. The court's in session.
Court adjourned.
Yes, I'm there with Peter Tosh. Here comes the George. Now, as I record this week's broadcast of Radio Resistance, we haven't yet had this week's meeting of the Socialist Workers' Party. However, last week's meeting was so good, I think I'm going to play you a second part of it. Last week we played a part about Argentina. Well, this week we're going to play you an excerpt from the meeting about Brazil.
It's not all good news. I'll just take a little trip to Paraguay. landlocked. This is the stereotype banana republic, Paraguay. It's the sort of thing Sacha Baron Cohen would rip off, you know, with great dictator. Was that Charles Chaplin? Anyway. Very strong Nazi collections after the Second World War. The party in power was the Colorado Party, had been in power for 60 years. Alfredo Stroessner had been dictator for 35 years. This is the most conservative pro-US country on the planet. However, Stroessner was overthrown in a military coup in 89, so the one military coup can even overthrow another military. You know, they do it among themselves even as well, you see, when they get fed up with each other. But there was this character, there was a Catholic bishop, or a former Catholic bishop, called Fernando Lugo. Now, he was a liberation theologist, and I don't know if you know about this movement, but it was these Catholic priests going to South America and realizing the last thing that these peasants needed was God. They basically needed clean water, they needed to know how to read, you know, they needed health care. So, you know, and these Catholic priests were, you know, they had more in tune with the peasants and the struggle than they had with the Vatican. And so the church, as John Paul, thought it was a bit Marxist, didn't he? So he expelled a lot of these liberation theologians. And one of them he expelled was this Catholic bishop. So he ran for president on a leftist agenda. You know, he wanted to break the monopoly of the privileged families, he wanted wild-scale agrarian reform, and he wanted to provide poor with aid. So quite a left-wing agenda. Although, unlike the others, you know, Chavez, Morales and Correa, they didn't actually get to implement any of these. Because, to a certain extent, the others did. You know, it was far better in Venezuela, as we know, under Chavez than had it been before. So he didn't get to implement any of these. And it was actually stitched up by the business class, well, you know, the political classes. He was blamed for the murder of 8 police officers and 9 farmers. It was what we call a political coup. So the right-wing Colorado Party returned in Paraguay. So it's not all good news. I was wondering where to go next, but I don't know if you saw, but there was a teacher's strike in São Paulo during the week, and there was a bit of violence on it, so we got a lot of media. Which is a tip for us, really. Maybe last Sunday, if we'd have stormed the conference centre, we might have got more media or something. But so there was a lot of media on it. We talk about these lefty presidents, but actually the first one was Lula da Silva. He rose to power on a more leftist agenda. His party is actually named the Workers' Party. And in fact, in his young days, he used to wear Che Guevara t-shirts and have long beards and stuff. But anyway, Brazil is a little bit different from the rest of South America in that they do have the 7th largest economy. So it's a slightly different scenario, but I think it's worthwhile looking at as to what happened this summer, you see. They are a member of what we call the BRIC, an alliance of countries. They are these sort of middle-ranking, second tier of companies are actually doing quite well at the moment. BRIC is Brazil, Russia, India, and China. You know, they've all got incredible rates of growth. You know, they're up and coming. They're doing very well. They call themselves the BRIC companies. Somebody to look out for in the future is a woman called Marina Silva. She's an ex-Green. She's joined the Socialists to run for president. Apparently, she's got to join the Socialist Party. I don't know what the difference between the Socialist Party and the Workers' Party is. Maybe they should just call themselves the Socialist Workers' Party. So, what's happened in Brazil? Because you have this incredible growth. So what's going on? Well, the growth has slumped. It's slumped from about 10%, which is fantastic, to 2%, which would be good here, but in Brazil, that's not acceptable. So now, Brazil is a place where there's high expectations. So, and this growth has to be trying to maintain. Now, I did watch a video by The Economist, which identified the problem, but their solution would be different to ours. The problem is the infrastructure in Brazil is very poor. You know, the roads are very poor, the buses are rubbish, you know, the trains, the whole thing's very, very poor. So, and of course their way of dealing with the problem, you know, the business classes and the IMF and the World Bank, is to in fact raise taxes, you know, to do away. The point with Brazil is, you've got education compared to the rest of South America is better, you know, let's face it. Pensions, not bad, as a comparison, relative, isn't it? They do have a decentish minimum wage, you see. They do have fairly reasonable labour laws. Can you see? So they want to try and hang on to that, obviously. They want to try and hang on to that. And that's what's been attacked, you see. That's what they want to attack, to pay for the improvements in the infrastructure. I mean, everyone agrees that the infrastructure has to improve, but it's where you get the money from. Now, we would argue in Brazil, half the population consider themselves to be middle class. Well, they have a population of 200 million. That's 100 million Brazilians consider themselves to be middle class. Well, they'll have cars, won't they? You know, so they want decent roads, you know, they want decent infrastructure. And we would argue the way to pay for that, of course, it's a very unequal country at the same time, Brazil. There's an awful lot of people, there are a few people with an awful lot amount of wealth. And we would argue, you know, there's the money, tax the rich, that's where the money is. Don't have a go at, you know, the improvements that the workers have made. Don't have a go, don't go for that. So this is where the tensions arise in June, you see, because the June riot was initially all about hiking the bus fares and then police brutality during a demo against high bus fares, you see. So after that, they came out in their millions. It was over a million people in São Paulo after that. And of course, they suddenly turned to each other and thought, well, we're not just here about bus fares, are we? You know, we're here about, what about high taxes, yeah. And another thing, what about corruption? And another thing, what about poor public services? And what about another thing? What about all the football stadiums you're having to build? You know, so they could see where the money was going. Don't take it off us. We can see where the money's going. I mean, I don't know if you realise, but Brazil have got the World Cup in 2014, and also they have the Olympic Games in 2016. So I think there's going to be an awful lot of unrest in Brazil, because these people have high expectations. They're reasonably well educated, many of them. They're going to be saying, look, hold on, we're not paying for this. Not from our services, from our pensions, not from our wages, not from our taxes. We're not paying for this. You see. So that's basically the story with Brazil. So it's going to be an interesting place to be, I think, in the next year or two.
I'd say, well, you never knew what you never knew about South America. You never knew what you never knew in general, I guess. But for now, back to the music here on Radio Resistance Chesterfield. Here's the Sound of the Redskins, track entitled Bring It Down.
The Test Inequality.
We'll be right back.
This is the Radio Resistance Red Guide, a guide to meetings, demos and other events of interest to lefties in the Chesterfield area. On Saturday, October the 19th, there's the Unite the Resistance National Conference, which is to be held in central London at Bloomsbury Baptist Church from 12 midday to 5 p.m. Tickets are £5 waged or £3 unwaged, and there will be a coach from Chesterfield. On Tuesday, October the 22nd, Unite Against Fascism has its organising meeting in the evening. For the exact time and location details, phone or text 0742 367 2544. That's 0742 367 2544. On to Thursday, October the 24th. As per usual, the Socialist Workers' Party in Chesterfield will have its evening meeting at 7:30 p.m. in the Chesterfield Library, entrance by the cafe entrance on Beatwell Street. That's down the steps from the main entrance. On to Tuesday, November the 5th. It will be a day of civil disobedience, including action planned against Katos. Then on Thursday, November the 7th, there'll be a special branch meeting by Chesterfield SWP to elect delegates to the SWP National Conference. Remember, what the working class needs a party which will not sell out to a right-wing agenda to gain middle-class votes. What the working class needs a party which will not kowtow to the bosses and the ruling class. What the working class needs a party which is run by and for the working class. The Socialist Workers' Party is that party.
Mighty manifest. pedestal. Mark's my main man, it's a pocket full of joy. Mark's my main man, it's got all the angles covered, and Engel's got it covered too. Say hello with the children now. Mark's my main man, it's a mighty manifesto. Mark's my main man, it's a pocket full of joy. Mark's my main man, it's got all the angles covered, Engel's got it covered too. Mark's my main man, it's a mighty manifesto. Mark's my main man, it's a pocket full of joy. Mark's my main man, it's got all the angles covered, and Engel's got it covered too. Mark's my main man, it's a mighty manifesto. Mark's my main man, it's a pocket full of joy. Mark's my main man, it's got all the angles covered, and Engel's got it covered too. Mark's my main man, it's a mighty manifesto. Mark's my main man, it's a bucket full of joy. Mark's my main man, it's got all the angles covered, and Engel's got it covered too.
Yeah, Sound of the Thief action, Mark's my main man. And for those of us listening who are going to the Unite the Resistance National Conference in central London on Saturday, that's the 19th of October. Well, here's a few details of who's going to be speaking there. Well, the opening plenary, Striking Back Against Austerity, is going to be from 12 midday through till 1:30 p.m. And the chair's going to be Ian Hodgson, the National President of the BFAWU Bakers Union, who of course recently won a magnificent victory at Hovis. And speakers include Billy Hayes, the CWU General Secretary, that's the Union of the Post Office Workers, who are about to go on strike. There's Alex Kenny from the National Executive of the National Union of Teachers, who were recently on strike. There's Ellen Clifford from Disabled People Against the Cuts. And there's going to be a video from an Egyptian activist on building independent trade unions. Following this, there's going to be workshops from 2 to 3:30 p.m. which are going to be organising the unorganised and fighting zero hours. A rough guide to building strong workplace organisation. Trade unions and fighting the war on claimants. Unity forever, fighting oppression in the workplace. How can we save our NHS? And fighting the blacklist and taking on the anti-union laws. And then, last but not least, there'll be the closing plenary on Build the Unions, Build the Protests, Build the Strikes between 4 and 5 p.m. which is going to have as its chair Sarah Tomlinson of the National Union of Teachers and Unite the Resistance. And there's going to be speeches from, among others, Ronnie Draper, who was the General Secretary of the BFAWU Bakers Union, who, as I say, won the outstanding victory at Hovis. Anyway, there will be a transport down from Chesterfield. More details at this Thursday's meeting. Anyway, back to the music now with the sound of Billy Bragg, appropriately enough. The Internationale.
Stand up, all victims of oppression. For the tyrants fear your might. Don't cling so hard to your possessions, for you have nothing if you have no rights. Let racist ignorance be ended, for respect and
backs the empire's fall. Freedom is merely privilege extended unless enjoyed by one and all. So brothers and sisters, for the struggle carries on. The international unites the world in song. So stand beside us, we'll live together or we'll die alone. In our world poisoned by exploitation, those who have taken they must give, and end the vanity of nations with the blood of hunger.
Yes, Song Every Marxism, that's the sound of the Internationale, Billy Bragg's version. And now, coming towards the end of this broadcast, over to you, as it were, before I get on to how you can contact us, I'm going to let you know how people can log into Radio Resistance in the first place, rather than having to search for us on Mixcloud. We now have a web address of radioresistance.sale.to or sale.to/radioresistance. That's sail.to/radioresistance, all one word, or radioresistance.sail.to. God, you can tell I'm a aficionado of offshore radio, can't you? But that's another story. And now, how can you contact Radio Resistance? Well, we've also got a new phone number dedicated to Radio Resistance, which you can use to phone or text us. That is on 0793 479 3041. That's 0793 479 3041. Hopefully in the not too distant future we'll have a easier to remember email address as well, but for now the email address remains irx at indigoromeo@gmail.com. That's indigoromeoxray at souladdequate.plus.com. And of course, you can follow us on Facebook. Search for Radio Resistance Chesterfield. Find the Radio Resistance Chesterfield webpage, like the page, and then you can send us a message, or else leave a note on our wall. Now, usual sort of stuff applies. You can send us info in text phone, and we can read it out. You can send us a request or a dedication. You can send us some audio, whether over the web or leave a message on the phone, in which case we can rebroadcast it on next week's programme. Anyway, that's about all we've got time for, so... This week's meeting's going to be on black civil rights in the US, so I'm going to sign off with a tribute to Martin Luther King by the Gap Band.
Let us say the words we feel.
Someday.
And our hearts and minds are still.
Ciao for now.
Special dreams that included quiet streams. Where all of us together will have to stay.